Oh boy, I could listen to that all day. It's Straight, No Chaser, a famous tune by Miles Davis, although here John Coltrane is taking the lead on tenor sax. Of course, we'll hear Miles Davis on trumpet, Julian Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, Red Garland on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. This is from Miles Davis's 1958 album titled Milestones. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and yes, there was that speech made last night. We talked about it. To what degree was there any confluence between what happened during the speech and what was said during the speech and what you predicted? 888-874-4888. What do you make of President Joe Biden's speech, and what was particularly striking to you, good or bad or indifferent, but striking? It's interesting when people make speeches, and this was a momentous occasion. Odd, because of course the pandemic affected it, so it lacked a certain environment that we normally expect, with the hallowed halls of Congress, et cetera, that didn't happen. But it was a most significant speech, and we'll discuss why from your perspective. 888-874-4888. What do you think of what was said? What do you think of the whole speech? On the whole, what was it for you? Did Joe Biden strike a note? Did he come through very clearly as being different from his predecessors, including Donald Trump? What did you pick up from the speech by Biden? All right, let's get started. 888-874-4888. That's a number you ought to have on your phone itself. You don't have to look it up. It should be embedded in your memory by now. Let's see who's on first. I don't see a name here. Not a name yet. You're hiding today. I thought it was interesting, and the word interesting is itself interesting, because I'm not saying bad, good, or indifferent. But you can see there are many things that occurred during the course of the speech and in the speech itself. And now we have to make sense of it as we ponder what was said. What was the main point of Joe Biden's speech? What was the most significant thing about it, in your view? What do you expect the reaction to be in terms of what will be done in his administration? How do you forecast the administration getting on with the business of running this country, if you think that that is going to happen? So, I don't see any names. What's going on? Are we slow on the names today, or what? Or is it that you're hesitant to call in? Look, a speech is a speech, but when it comes from the head of state, it is not just a simple speech. We talked about that. You have to listen to the layers of meaning, and you have to get a sense of what not only is being said, literally being said, but what is intimated, what is lying under the surface of what is said. What do you think that is? What do you think that is based on the speech last night? And from our community, what do you expect the reactions to be? People have a hard time sometimes saying, well, he did well. That was a good speech. And now let's see how it translates into action and policies. But let's start at the beginning, shall we? This is a new administration. This is the first speech made by the president, the new president of the United States. He put before the nation a vision of where the country ought to go, the tasks that must be done. And now the question is, are we going to get it done? How are we going to get these things done? And how? Or is that going to be the basis of a fight, a long protracted fight? I've lost my appetite for fights, but of course, in Congress, it's what politics is made of. People fighting. And I had hoped that we would have turned a corner on this by now, but it doesn't look like that. They like fighting and making things very personal instead of focusing on what is the task. What has to be done in order to advance the country, in order to get people involved in this business of moving the country forward? Now, lest you believe that I'm a diehard fan of Joe Biden, I'm not. But you have to give people a chance. And you have to give them an opportunity to tackle what it is they say they are going to do. E from Edgewater, how did you react to the president's speech?
Hi, Trice. Good afternoon.
Oh. Good afternoon to you, too.
I think he made a good effort to make a decent speech. Wasn't like it's a lot of hard stuff. I mean, he's pointing out all the good things he wants to do. But he seemed to be asking, you know, it was all up in the air. He said, you know, he seemed to be talking mainly to the Republicans to pass these things he wants to put out there so that they could get these things done. The only thing I think that I heard him saying is definitely going to happen is taxes are going to be increased. And, of course, they say it's going to be on the rich people only, the 1% that makes over four. I think there's 50% of the people here and make a lot of money. I don't think, you know, we hear that same thing all the time. I find it strange that he couldn't put two sentences together during the primary time, and now he seems to have no problem. So that's an observation that, you know, makes me wonder what was going on with him. And Nancy Pelosi behind him, I observed her constantly blinking her eyes. One, two, every second she blinks her eyes with her false eyelashes on, trying to look like she's still 40 when she's like 90. When are these people going to retire? Are they trying to send a message that nobody should retire because there's no money in the Social Security system, so everybody should work till they die? I mean, the judges, they have to work till they die. And Schumer, Pelosi, Biden, 40 years, and he's still talking the same stuff. So there's a lot more to it from the past that I still have. And, you know, just going by what he said last night, That's what I observed.
You're taking this rather personally. what do you think in terms of the content of what it is he's?
Oh, the content. Well, I mean, he talked about infrastructure. He talked about the family plan thing, you know, to help people
I'm
out.
I'm not so much interested in you telling us what he talked about. I want to know from you what resonated with you about what he talked about.
Well, I thought I just said all those things that resonated, that, you know, while I'm watching him, I'm also thinking about other things, that he's been in here for 40 years. He was the vice president for 8 years. I mean, it just seems like lip service, more of the same that we've always had in the past, you know. Could be Johnson, it could be Bush, it could be Clinton. They're all the same. It's just the same stuff. All right, we want to give him a chance. We'll give him a chance. But in the meantime, you know, he didn't mention, I guess he said what he needed to say. I watched it and I was like disgusted with him.
Okay.
I know what he's
well,
really
you were disgusted.
Yeah, I was
all
disgusted.
Right. Thank you. I'll put that down. You were disgusted. So our first caller was disgusted. Brother David from Brooklyn, how are you?
Good afternoon, Latrice. The way I feel, I look at Joe Biden as that leopard, and a leopard does not change his spots. He dangled a lot of things that may seem progressive, but getting them into effect would not be an easy task. And the leopard, I don't think, is becoming a vegan. So I look at him as one who works for those who rule. So those things that are dangled, some bones with meat on them and whatnot, but they haven't been thrown into the cage where the people can get the bones or get the meat off the bones. So it's a so-called political speech that throws out some things that sound somewhat progressive, but he has not convinced me that he's not working for those who rule, who he worked for all the time he was in Congress from the start, to actually working for the good of the people, the masses of people who live here. So I am not that impressed with what I heard him saying yesterday, putting those things into effect and reversing the mission of the Democrat and Republican Party to take care of those who are at the top, the ruling elite, who control this one-party system of two divisions called Republican-Democrat. So he hasn't convinced me that he's turned into a humanitarian to benefit the masses of people, even though those things sound good, but that's not what those who rule want. And as far as I know, he still works for them.
What will be for you a sign that he actually wants to do better? He wants to do better for the people.
Well, I don't really believe that he cares that much about the people. But he is saying what the people want to hear, but putting those things into effect in the current situation where you have Republicans that would have to go along with that, and some Democrats who are really blue dogs, that's another story. This system that we have here is not one that in any way is designed to first and foremost benefit the masses of people who live here. This is the most successful capitalist country in the world, and it is not that way because it was designed to benefit the masses. And we can see now that those who rule are very successful because they're getting more benefit in terms of wealth, and the people are getting poorer. So I don't think that Joe Biden wants to completely reverse that, because we know who he worked for, and I don't think he's flip-flopped and changed over to work for the people. And that's the way I see it.
Okay. Thank you very much. So two for two. Biden is zero at this moment. Biden is taking a beating in terms of our audience poll. 888-874-4888. What do you think is the most significant thing about Biden now? And whatever it is he says, in what light do we have to see it? Do you have an answer for that? 888-874-4888. What is going on with Joe Biden? And what accounts for the sense of urgency that he didn't have just a couple of years ago? But he has a sense of urgency about things, and that came through in the speech, unless you disagree. But I sensed it, that he has a sense of urgency. And I'd like to know what you think about that. What accounts for Biden's sense of urgency that we must get certain things done now? We have to move forward on certain plans. We have to make certain decisions that have been long delayed. What is accounting for that attitude? Is it because he is the president, the new president, having realized that goal late in his life, or is it something else? I'd be interested in your thoughts about that. Did you sense that, by the way, that Joe Biden is a guy on a mission, a man on a mission? But what is accounting for it? Jesse from New Orleans, you're on the air.
Hey, Miss Utrice.
Hello, it's Utrice, just Utrice.
Okay. Listen, to me, it was like a bad geriatric game show.
Oh, but, no.
But yes, but the thing is, like, he didn't talk about forgiving student loan. Nothing with any real teeth in it. He didn't talk about Russia and Ukraine right now, which is subject to some major damage. And when he talked about, you know, adding on to, you know, a couple more years of free education, he didn't talk about the privatization of the materials used to teach kids through public funds. And a lot of the education, the materials are what is lacking because it's being dumbed down. So really, I didn't see anything that was pivotal. I'm right there with David. He's going to have to really come across and flip the whole game, which I don't think is going to happen.
But at the same time, do you appreciate the situation? You have an hour. He had a little bit more than an hour, probably about an hour and 10 minutes to make a speech. At this time, as the first shot that he has at being president, this is the 46th president making the case to the nation. He can't deal with everything. Deal with what he dealt with, your reaction to what he dealt with, not what was left off, because we dealt with that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the Democratic Party.
What are you critical about what was focal points or focal points in his speech.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the Democratic Party is they're really good with the honey dripping. It sounds great. It's sweet. But at the end of the day, they end up backpedaling and doing exactly what the corporatocracy and the uniparty that Dave talks about is on their agenda. It's not really based on something with real teeth in it. I just think it's a lot of talk, really.
You think it's just talk?
Yeah, and it's like my wife, you know, she's emotionally moved by the speech. And I'm like, well, I'm happy for you. But, you know, it's just like the one good thing about Donald Trump is he did pass that bill about transparency to where you know these people who own these companies. But it's like nobody's really talking about accountability and transparency and getting to the root of, you know, the monopolization and the corporatization of America. I mean, that's really what's putting these people in positions of power.
Okay. What would you have suggested that Biden should have talked about? You're telling us what he didn't talk about. What should he have talked about?
I would have definitely talked about the threat of nuclear war that we're, you know, on the verge of over there with Russia and Ukraine and a couple other situations. Also, the fact that this global empire, the United States, is in a state of decline. Our dollar is not going to be the global currency in just a short amount of time. There's a lot of things that I would have addressed and what I'm going to do at the core, not on the periphery. I mean, that's just prolonged agony. I'd have gotten to the core thing, said, this is what's going to shift. This is what we need to do. Buckle up, because it's going to be a ride.
Well, let me ask you, I'm suspecting you haven't been president of the United States. And then how do you talk to a nation? What do you specifically choose to talk to them about in an address? What is the address for? Do you want to frighten all of America and tell them what you are suggesting, the nitty-gritty truth as you see it, and have the nation going crazy today from hearing what they heard last night?
I understand your point about creating hysteria and whatnot. But, you know, there's another thing. This whole thing with the race baiting, right, and all this racial stuff, which is a big part of the plan of the 1% of the 1% that are really having a kick out of seeing the working class people fight each other, because that keeps them in power. And so it's like the whole racial divide.
But you're not
thing.
Talking about Biden. You're talking about concepts, and they're not readdressing the situation that we want to focus on. It is the day after Biden's speech. What are you thinking? What did he accomplish in your mind? In your opinion, what did he accomplish? What didn't he accomplish?
Okay, well, I'm the kind of person that likes to lean in, but I get your point about, you know, creating some kind of, you know, drama for the American people. But I still look at it as just pacification, really. You know, and if that's what, you know, diplomatic people do, then that's what he did, you know.
You thought he pacified his speech, sought to pacify the people.
Yeah, it was like a bad game show. And we're going to do this, clap, clap, clap. And we're going to do that, clap, clap, clap. It was really cheesy, to be honest with you.
Cheesy. All right. Well, thank you for your opinion. Let's see how people react to your opinion. Thank you. 888-874-4888. I'm sensing that we have to go through a kind of preamble, which we should have done yesterday. How do you listen to a speech? How do you listen to a speech? A speech is made in a context of time, and in that context of time, what is happening in the nation? What is going on that you must make note of if you mean to be relevant in making a speech, or if you insist on ignoring certain realities, that too people will pick up. But it is in context. This speech is happening. We talked about it yesterday. In the course of a pandemic, the whole world is rattled by it. We have still not, in this conversation today, we haven't put our finger on the button of what is driving the speaker right now, Joe Biden. What is driving this man right now? And much of the speech had to do with that. What is going on with him personally? And therefore, he has an agenda we may not know, we may not see. But he has an agenda that is driven by those things that we may not know or may not see. What do you think those things are? Did they come across to you? Did you pick up on that? What was or what were the driving forces that clearly influenced Biden's speech? The whole speech, every aspect of it was driven by these forces. How did you not pick up on that? 888-874-4888. That's where you start to analyze a speech. What is the purpose of the speech? You get to find out what is driving the speaker. What is at the core of the speaker at this time? To understand the speech, you go to that question and you try to understand it and answer it as thoroughly as you can with the information that you have, and then you understand the speech a lot more clearly. Things are going to be answered when you start there. What is the speaker's situation right now? What responses is he trying to get based on what he is experiencing? He has an agenda. He has talked about it. All the speech was about all the things that need to be done. But what is driving it? Did you get that yet? Did you recognize that this man is driven by something? And so there is a sense of urgency about things being done. Priorities are reprioritized, even to the annoyance of the Republican Party. He doesn't care. He is following the directives. And the directives are coming on him fast and furiously. He's got something to do. I just gave you a hint in case you were paying attention. How do you understand the speech from that reference point? Okay, that's where you start. What is going on with this man? What is going on with him? And therefore, what are the priorities now? He listed a whole bunch of priorities. And they seem, in some cases, to be quite radical. They seem, in some cases, to be quite, unnecessary right now. But it's going on with him. Nathaniel from California, what are you thinking?
Greetings to Trace and to PRN audience.
Thank you, and to you too.
I think that Biden wants to accomplish several things by the speech he made last night. One of them is to put the Democratic Party into a good place for the midterm elections, and possibly for him or his after-assessors to become president. Number two, he is genuinely concerned about correcting the error of his ways over the past 40 years. And number three, by, you know, the, correcting the errors of his ways over the past 40 years by being far beyond and above those dreadful measures that he has had a hand in having legislation passed over the past years when he was, that he's been in office. And four, or is that three? I'm lost. And
that
was the next. And four, I think he's genuinely concerned about this country after the last person in the office and his ilk, some of his ilk, are still trying to create chaos. For example, Mitch McConnell. Want to correct, make corrections for that.
Okay. And you're close, but you're not yet there. You're close. You're very close.
I actually, even though I don't put much faith in, I haven't put much faith in the political process over the, for the past, in the past, I think this might be a turning point in American politics, because we're at the point now, whereas as Gerald Salante says, the 20th century was the American century, and the 21st century is the Chinese century, the Chinese century, and the Chinese are about business, and America is about destruction. So I think we need to change that. If we don't, this country is actually circling the drain.
Wow. What a vision. Thank you very much, Nathaniel, for contributing today.
Thank you.
Myron, have you figured out yet what is driving the thought and the mindset of Joe Biden?
Oh, hi, Utrice. I hope you're well.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes, my head is still spinning from Gary, but... he seems to be making the right noise on where, turning us around since Reagan on, you know, with the rich in control and all our real dangerous situations that we're in. He's showing he's contrasting the enemies within to what the people want. In other words, that. We have some real negative forces that he has to overcome, and he's bringing us all together, seemingly bringing us all together. And I wasn't a big fan of his, but I see he's really on the move. I see that he's really motivated to get us out of this hole we're in. And I feel like...
Let me stop you there for a minute, because you dropped a couple of hints. I don't know if you know it, but he's really on the move.
Yeah.
And he wants to get things done. That's clear.
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, I feel that he recognizes the hole we're in, and he's really determined to throw a lifeline to this country, so to speak. I recognize it, like protecting our rights and basic things, uniformity, where we can really protect gay people and protect the rights of people, our basic needs, protecting us from the rich, having them pay their fair share. And he's becoming more progressive now. I see where Bernie has influenced him, and I recognize all this confluence things that must happen before we can really start to get back to growing. We've been backsliding so much in the last 40 years with the insanity of the last presidents that, you know, but I'm still worried about this warmongering business. But anyway, I feel like there's a new America coming back.
Well, you've brought us very much closer to the answer, but you didn't quite deliver the answer itself, but you brought us close to it. I wonder if you realize that.
Well, I feel like I have it. Maybe, you know, vocalizing it is another trip. But if
you feel like you have it, well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You pointed out some very important things, and they are part of the mix of the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still looking for the basic answer. And we need to get that. We need to understand that, because that makes us understand a whole lot of things that are about to happen or not happen.
Right.
That's very important. Thank you so much. I appreciate your call today.
Oh, well, thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. Gary from Hempstead.
Good afternoon, beloved. Good afternoon, beloved.
Good afternoon, Gary.
How
What's
are you?
Your answer? What
well,
is going
you know,
on?
I'm telling you, I'm really going to take a leap here, and I have to credit you with. I'm not going to hold you accountable for my answer, but at least for helping me think about things in different ways. That's for me your legacy. You've really given me the ability to think about things outside of the box. But what I'm thinking of, and I agree with the prior speaker, I think that, you know, he's positioning the party and he wants to keep the midterm, strengthen the Democrats in the midterm, both in the Senate and the House. But I'm wondering if he is aware of his cognitive decline, his own health challenges mentally, which have been spoken about by a few people, alluded to. I know there's no empirical evidence, no reports and assessments. But I'm wondering if he's trying to establish his legacy while he has the capability to do such. And that's
okay,
my
you're
leap.
Getting closer and closer. And therefore, take exactly what you're saying now and just add a little bit more elastic to it, and you'll be right at the center of the solution to this question.
Well, I think that may be for my next lecture with you, the next class that I sit in with you on, because I'm not sure how much more elastic I can get out of this.
Oh, you did magnificently well. You brought us the closest we have been since the program started today.
Thank you so much, beloved.
Thank
have
you.
A good afternoon.
And that tells us, you see, this is how you understand a speech. You understand the speaker. The speaker gives clues all the time about what's going on and what's important. But you have to read it.
And you really have to look at the why of it.
Not to reveal anything about ourselves, but it's hard to miss all those clues that he gave us yesterday.
Mm. Well, thank you.
Thank you. You did very well. Thank you. I'm very proud of that, by the way. Very proud that you came up with that. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi.
Could you get us closer to the answer?
I don't know, and I actually don't think I can, but I would like to have some input if I can in the conversation, because
please
I want to say that first, I wasn't even going to watch this last night because I feel a little disillusioned, but I have to say I did watch it. And I was pleasantly surprised. And, you know, I find that a lot of people on the left are really, really negative. It's like, oh, we don't get this. We're not getting that. But, you know, there is a maturity that you have to have when you're looking at politics, knowing that you're not running things by yourself. There is some compromise. And what I did see in him was, first of all, I saw he was very competent, and I saw humility, because I didn't see him up there banging his hand saying, you know, we're the best, we're this, we're that. I just thought that he had humility, he has some common sense ideas. And what I said to this
me,
audience before he came in, can you hear me?
You kind of disappeared for a minute there.
Okay, I heard your man come on. Okay, but anyway, I saw humility, and I also want to say that I remember before he got in that one of the thoughts that I shared on this show was that, you know, remember, Joe Biden is not probably going to run for another term, and he has nothing to lose at this point. And I believe he comes from a generation of a place where he believes that, you know, Roosevelt was really a hero. I believe he was, too. And I think that his legacy matters a lot to him. And I think that what I noticed was he's willing to share the responsibility of leading the country. He doesn't, and he is allowing people like Bernie Sanders to not just have input, but really make these decisions along with him. And I think that with that, we're seeing a lot more decisions that are going to the left. I'm really happy, if he can pull it off, that he's going to make these corporations start paying. Corporations that haven't paid for 15 years. He's going to, you know, go after rich people to pay more. As far as the Medicare, well, that's kind of like it's a no-brainer. It was taken away under Bush. We used to negotiate prices under President Bush. He's the one that took it away. So what I would have liked him to say is use the word reinstate that, because it was already a policy. It's not a new policy. But basically, I was pleasantly surprised, because it wasn't one of those, you know, launching rockets and there's going to be miracles. It wasn't like that. It was here's where we are, and here's the things I think we need to do. And it had common sense. And I thought, honestly, he spoke better than I've ever heard him speak. If you looked at his body language at the end, he almost looked like a lawyer who was addressing a jury, because he was very conscious of going back and forth. His body language wasn't offensive or aggressive. And he certainly, although he was telling the Republicans, I'm certainly willing to hear from you, and I want to hear from you, I'm also going to go forth with an agenda with or without you. But we want you to come on board. And I think one of the biggest problems that country has right now is this staunch division between Democrats and Republicans, and this hatred that goes on. And I think that it would be nice to repair some of that. You know, I actually have some friends now that are Republican. We don't talk about politics when we go out. They knew who I am. I knew who they are. But when we made a decision that it's more important that we have friendship than we, you know, have the exact same politics. And so I think that's the kind of mentality that he might be trying to bring forth. And I do think the two ladies behind him, you know, I didn't think I was going to be so moved by that, but I actually thought that was pretty cool, you know. So I'm a realist. I know that he is a part of an organization. I don't agree with anything about the vaccine. None of that I agree with. But I did agree with maybe three quarters of it. And I also thought that he was so not in my face that he made me feel comfortable about the way he wanted to lead things, because I think that you can still have a conversation about what your input is. It seemed that there's still room that if you don't agree with him, you can tell him that, and he might think about it again and make a different decision. So on that, I thought that he did well. And I thought overall, I think he did really very nicely with the speech. I don't think he offended anybody. I guess after Trump, you know, I was always terrified of watching him. I was. I mean, I was terrified
let's
of watching
hope
him.
And pray we don't have anybody that is even worse than Trump.
I didn't feel that way. And I know his wife was my sister's friend when they were growing up. And I know she's not a pig. So I know he listens to her. And I think she's a nice lady. I don't think she's malicious. And I certainly think what I really did love is I think both of them have learned so much over these last 4 years about racism, about classism. And I think that they're using the knowledge that they're getting it, you know. So people are not all born in the same neighborhoods. They don't have the same experiences. But guess what? If you're open to hearing about it, maybe this guy can help you. And I think he's open. And that's so important to me, because I never hear that. I always feel there's such a divide of the people who are our leaders now having no idea about what's going on the ground and really having no interest in knowing what's going on in the ground. That's the difference. I think he's old enough that he's okay, and he wants to know about it. He is open to hearing about the shootings, talking about them, and trying to resolve it. And I'm not saying that that could be a lot of BS, but it seemed last night sincere to me, especially since he has been willing to take some actions. So I don't know, you know, I don't know how everybody else felt. I'm not telling you this was a glowing, incredible, but I thought it was a good start. Okay, that's what I thought. Good start.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
You covered a lot of ground right there. Patricia, what do you think? What is your thinking?
Good afternoon, you, Trace, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
I missed the first 20 minutes because normally I do not listen to those speeches, but I wanted to be able to contribute today. So I said, well, let me listen to it. So I missed the first 20 minutes. But I did. I think I did get a major portion of his speech. And I think what impressed me, you know, he made a lot of stumbles. And he sounded as someone who has a sense of his impending mortality, and he wants to make certain that he goes. It's almost like someone making contrition, and he wants to make certain that he does the right thing before he leaves. I don't know. I just have that feeling.
Patricia?
Yes?
You win the prize. You got it. This is a man extremely aware that he doesn't have much time. And therefore, he can't waste any time. He sees the country in pretty much the same space. The country has blown a lot of time getting nothing done. And in fact, whatever it had gotten done was not done right. That is where he is. He is a man obsessed with time. He doesn't have much left. And so there is an urgency for getting things done right and done right now.
Yeah.
And that informs his attitude, it seems to me, about just about everything that we call loosely policy, making policy. We just don't want to make policy. We want to make the right policy that lasts a long time and does the most good. So that's where his head is. And you can tell it by his speech. You're right on it. You gave us the answer today.
Yeah, he sounded like someone who just wanted to tie up all loose ends.
That's it. He knows he doesn't have much time left.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yes, you heard it correctly. I don't have much time left. And so there is a pressing need to get as much done as I possibly can get done and get the country moving in the right direction. And I think it was... Gary from Hempstead, who said that there is this urgency. You could sense it. You could sense it. And when you understand what is motivating the speaker, you understand a lot about the speech. What was for you the most significant point made in his speech yesterday?
I get a sense that he just wants people to not suffer anymore. He wants to get them on the right track to the extent that he can, across racial groups, across social groups. I just got a sense that he just wants people to be in a better place overall.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. But you win the prize.
You win the prize. I hope it's a trip to Jamaica.
Huh?
I hope it's a trip to Jamaica.
This is a trip to Jamaica. Believe me, I'm going with you.
All right, our bags are packed.
Thanks so much, Patricia. That was great. That was a great contribution today. You see what I'm talking about? Listen to a speech. Don't listen to the words alone. And listen to what the speaker is saying. because there are lots of messages that Joe Biden sent out yesterday that said, I'm on a tight leash here with time. And so is the nation. The nation has a lot to make up for and to do with the little bit of time we have left. We can't waste any more time. There is an urgency to getting things done. He even suggested the mistakes that were made, the misses that he had. He missed this, he missed that, misinterpreted this, misinterpreted that. But there is no time to mourn over these things. We got to move. You've got to move. And move, hopefully, with the benefit of what we have learned, and move in the right direction. But this is a man, the man we saw there last night, is acutely aware of time. The nation is running low on time to do what it has to do in order to rebound, to bounce back. It doesn't have, you know, an indefinite amount of time. It doesn't. It must deal with certain realities now, or else we will have crumbled as a nation. That's what he was saying. And that is coming from his own personal experience that he's going through also. He knows the value of time now and the need to get things done with an urgency that was not felt before. The United States just took for granted, well, we'll do this, you know, we'll get around to doing that. No, what he's saying is time is running out. It certainly is for him. And he has a limited amount of time in which he can continue to be useful. That's what he's saying. Like the country, his story is the story of the country. We wasted a lot of time and resources and the capacity to do things. The best of our years are behind us. In many ways, we have to catch up, if only to be current. We have to catch up just to be current. We are not allowed an unlimited amount of time. There are certain things that must be done in a very timely fashion, and in fact, in an urgent way, if we are to pull through. That's what he's saying. So don't just pay attention to the words that are said. Listen to what you know he's believing. He's telling you his own story. I'm running out of time, just like the nation. And we've got to get serious about getting ourselves at least a little bit better. I want to thank you so much for allowing me the pleasure of your brain and your good company. And I consider myself very lucky every time we talk, because we learn so much from each other. But I want to congratulate Myron and Gary and Patricia and Nathaniel and Jesse and Brother David from Brooklyn and E from Edgewater and everyone for contributing, putting into this reservoir that we are building of ideas. Nobody has to be right. Nobody has to be wrong. We just have to be thinking. We'll see each other tomorrow.
Bye-bye.